I don't need to hear myself. Praise God. Well, we know this to be a fact. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon us. Us. Amen? The reason? Because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news. Send me to bind the brokenhearted. How about y'all? Do you know that every day you're sent? Y'all thought you just got up and made your own plans, didn't you? You are sent. That's what the Bible says. To bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners. To proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God. To comfort all who mourn. How many of you know how many are mourning out there right now? Just about everybody you run into every day. Some of them are painted over with smiles, but I promise you there's great pain there. And provide. You're sent to provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of spirit of despair. Those people that you minister to and their lives are changed, they will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of His splendor. So what you've got to do for today and tomorrow is for His splendor. They will rebuild, and this is what they will do. They will rebuild the ancient ruins and restore the places long devastated. They will renew the ruined cities that have been devastated for generations. Now, in case you want to know why I read that every time, one thing is the Lord told me to. But the other is that we are supposed to prophesy and to call those things that aren't as if they are. Amen? Why? Because it will change us. It will make things come to place, come to a fruition, come to realization of what you had never imagined if you'll just quote the Word. Amen? That's what we want. We want God's... How can I say this? You quote the Word, God will work out the details. And that's what will surprise you. See, His Word happening is not going to surprise you, but the details in it will just blow you away. Amen? How He does it, just by you prophesying His Word, just speak His Word and don't speak anything else. Those details that He works out are absolutely fantastic. Amen? Sometimes they're quick, sometimes they're slow, but they're always surprising. Praise Your Lord. What are we going to do, God? What are we going to do? Y'all know what we're going to do this morning? Because I don't... Did you know I can fake it? No, I don't want to. If God wants to stop and do something, I want that to happen. Praise You, Lord. Father, we'll just speak a release to You in case we're in the way. We'll be happy to sit down and shut up while You do Your thing. More than happy. You do exactly what You want today in this service, through whoever You want. You feel free. This is Your time. These are Your people. We are Your people. We want Your will. We want Your green grass. We want Your still waters. We want Your food. Praise You, Lord. And we all agree by saying amen. Hallelujah. Praise You, Lord. Praise You, Lord. I can read you my note. Can y'all read my note? See, I'll kill time here until we know what to do. Y'all, can you read my note? Connie can't. Okay, front row can. God is working for you every bit as hard and as diligently as you are working and being diligent to and for Him. Let me say it another way. God's only limited by you. He's only limited by us. And I want to be found faithful. Amen? Well, let me go to my notes and then we'll give Him a chance to work through those measly things. Now, if I can't find them, we're going home. There we go. If you'll remember this series, and we get off of it a lot, but that's okay. I want God to take whatever and work with it. Is about why He's coming, not when. I don't know how long we'll be on that, but I'll always refer back to it until we get it down. I turned yesterday on television, and I don't know how many of you have seen it, but there's a group of people on television called the Prophecy Club. It's really a place you need to stay away from. I hate to be rude. If you're sold on it, throw stones at me later. Good people. Good people. I'm not calling them bad people. They're good people. But they've kind of got wrapped up in their own little things. And one of the things that the guy said in the short time that I listened was that we're going to be here on earth until God decides to come back and take us out of the predicament that we're in. And that's no more scriptural than the man in the moon is scriptural. And I want to go against that. I don't intend... Listen to me. I'm going to say something to you. God's not going to rescue me any more than He's already rescued me. He's already done everything that He needs to do.
Amen.
All I got to do is believe that. And then I can rule and reign in the midst of my enemies. And I can bring His rulership and His reign into this kingdom, is what I'm ordered to do, so that we can facilitate His return. Not be rescued by His return. The best way to die is to lay down and go to sleep and not wake up. The best way for God to come back is me being caught at His work. I was so busy doing His work that it surprised me that He came. That's how simple this thing is. And I think God's made provisions for that. Now I'm going to start where I kind of left off last time, skipping around. I mean, not skipping around, but going fast. We have to think like He thinks. All right, I'll back up one page just to make sure. Know that exalting Jesus is the door to God's heart. We must think as Jesus thinks. How many of you really believe that you can think like Jesus thinks? See, because if you don't agree with that, then you don't agree with the Scripture that says you can have the mind of Christ. So you can think like He thinks. That means you're not scared by some little swish-tailed devil that blows hard and can't do nothing. That's a country way to say it, okay? In order to think as He thinks, believers must break the curse of single, generational, selfish, only us, no future thinking. Am I saying that there's going to be another generation? I'm not saying that. I'm telling you we've got to stop thinking like that. That's all I'm telling you. Jesus made plans for the future, therefore we must also. The church will not depart in disobedience. And I'm going to just call it like it is. Disobedience is thinking about, I hope God comes tomorrow. Instead of, God, help me do what You have for me to do tomorrow. The church will not depart in disobedience. We must break the curse of Malachi 4:6. Let me just read that to you. Malachi 4, verse 4 through 6 says, "Remember the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded him in Horeb for all Israel, with the statutes and judgments. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord, and he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the earth with a curse." Now listen to me. How are we going to know when God's coming? People are going to stop thinking about them being the last generation and their hearts are going to start turning to their children and their grandchildren. Everything they do is for the future. Then Jesus can return. You know what the church has propagated? The very opposite. The church has taught by rapture theology, and I believe in Jesus' second coming. Don't hear me say anything but that. That we don't have to worry about tomorrow because tomorrow will take care of itself. That was directed to me as an individual, pointing to worry, not work. Worry, not work. I will work tomorrow. And I will work the next day. And if I don't accomplish anything else, I will make a better place for my children to live. And by the way, the blessings go a lot further than my children, but my children's children and my children's children's children. So what I do today is at least setting up a blessing for the next three generations. It's important to Jesus. It's important to me. Anything else is disobedience. He will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. Now the next thing that's going to happen is because the hearts of the fathers are turned to the children, those children that have lost their feeling for their parents, their hearts are going to turn back to them. Why? Because the fathers are getting good. They're getting the mind of Christ. They're starting to act like Jesus Christ instead of the nonsense that we see out here now, saying it's all right for my boys to wear earrings, and it's all right for them to get tattoos all over, and it's all right for all kinds of premarital sex from the age of 11. That's okay, because that's the way society goes. And fathers won't put their foot down and say, as long as your knee is under my table, you won't do that. Parents giving their children choices of whether they come to church or not. You're out of choice. I sure did. You going to get thrown in that car, or you going to get in that car? Mine had the same, by the way. As soon as my children started getting old enough to know that I wasn't just being mean, but I was being firm, their hearts started turning back to me. Did they ever feel like I was against them? Every one of us have felt that way about our parents. Let's don't be unrealistic. That's the way it is. And then we get smart. Since Jesus lives to obey and please His Father, do you know that's why Jesus lives? Young people, you can listen to me real close here. Jesus lived to please His Father. Well, when did He grow out of that? He hadn't grown out of it yet. He's still working at it. Since Jesus lives to obey and please His Father and empower His brethren, then living to maximize blessings, listen to me. I want you to listen carefully. Living to maximize blessings and avoid hardship is a non-Christian concept and cannot be a presupposition upon which to build our theology or eschatology, our view of times and future. Now listen to me, I'm going to say this. I am 1,000% for blessings. Jesus paid for it, and I want them applied to my life and yours. I don't think that the kingdom is built on me being crushed. So don't hear me say that I want you to go through hardships. I don't believe that. I believe the stronger our faith is, the easier the walk is. That isn't what I said. I said to live for that is wrong. The only reason we pray, the only reason that we trust God, the only reason we cry out the name of Jesus is so that we can have it easier, is totally wrong. It is not the hearts of the fathers turned to the children. It is not Jesus' heart. It should not be our heart. You know what one of my commands is? That I bear your burdens. But the other part of that scripture says the burdens are light. Why? Because as Jesus said, I drank the cup. I accept it. Wholeheartedly, God, your mission for me, the thing you've got for me to do, if it's one more day, 1,000 more days, or 1,000 more years, I don't care what it is, I just wake up every morning and say, what have you got for me to do today? Not how can I get out of it. I'm going to tell you, our church right now, not this one, church in general, we don't even know each other. And you know what the main reason is? I don't want to know your problems. The pastor, as soon as he can afford it, he moves to the other side of town and gets an unlisted phone number. Don't be calling me in the middle of the night. You sleep it off and contact me in the morning. My hours are from 9 to 4 when you can catch me. Now, what does that propagate in the congregation? The very same thing. The reason I don't know much about you is because that's safe. Because if I commit to you, you may draw on it sometime. You may call me up in the middle of the night and say, man, I'm having a problem. And instead of you saying, now you have two, you'll say, What can I do for you? Excuse me, just a second. I'll be right back. Cold water. Now, what was it I can do for you? Maybe that's not how you... Maybe y'all are sharp in the middle of the night, but sometimes I take a minute. Praise God. Praise you, Lord. We must be willing to live to accomplish God's will, not our will, and we don't live for ourselves. Let me tell you something. Go back to the Scripture of Malachi again. When my heart is not totally consumed with me, then maybe God's accomplishing something in my life. When I don't think, or when I start really believing that I don't have the right to tell everybody off anytime I get a little upset, now I'm getting the mind of Christ. How do I know that? How many times does God slap you on the ground when you're being silly? Maybe I should have asked, how many times should He be doing that? Listen, He's full of grace and mercy. And He puts up with our back talk and our nonsense and our refusal to obey. He puts up with that. How come you don't put up with it with me and I don't put up with you? Because my heart's totally consumed by me. Well, I'll set you straight. I'll give you a piece of my mind. Hey, you've done so much of that, you don't have any anymore. You need to refill it with the mind of Christ and watch all that nonsense stop. Let me read to you. Why don't you turn to Hebrews? It's important right here that we read this. Not just listen to my chatter, but to listen to exactly what God has to say. Hebrews, the second chapter, the first verse through the 18th verse. Imagine that. We're going to read 18 verses at church. Woo! Man. Hebrews, second chapter, first verse. Therefore, what's it there for? Well, let's read it and find out. We must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. For if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, if we got what we deserved, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard Him? It didn't just stop with those that met Jesus, right? It came with other preachers and teachers. God also bearing witness, both with signs and wonders, with various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit according to His own will. For He has not put the world to come, of which we speak, in subjection to angels. But one testified in a certain place, saying, what is a man that you are mindful of him, or the son of man that you take care of him? How come this happens? You have made Him a little lower than the angels. You have crowned Him with glory and honor, and set Him over the works of your hands. Is that y'all? Was God talking about you? Let's don't read this Scripture for somebody else. He was speaking about you. I'm going to read that 7th verse again. You have made Him, God, you have made Him a little lower than the angels. You have crowned Him with glory and honor, and set Him over the works of your hands. You have put all things in subjection under His feet. Now you see, you know this couldn't be talking about Jesus because He's not lower than the angels, is He? For in that He put all in subjection under Him, He left nothing that is not put under Him, but now we do not yet see all things put under Him. How are we going to start seeing all of these things? By faith, I promise you. Not by your mind, because when you start reading the Word with an open mind to God, not to the world, an open mind to God, and He starts showing you your possibilities, you have to see with eyes of faith. You've got to trust Him. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels. Now listen. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels. What does this mean? Can you picture Jesus being a little lower than the angels? What does it mean? He was made a man. Absolutely. He humbled Himself. He gave up His Godhood. Remember, He was God before He came to the earth. He gave that position up and became as a man. All right? For the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, might taste death for everyone. What did that mean? Can I remind you? Yes, he paid our penalty. He paid for our sins that would have led to death. But he said he tasted death. Now, if that means sin, that means he tasted sin. But if it means death, it means he tasted death. You make your choice. I would suggest death. The only time he tasted sin or felt sin for us was when he was on the cross. So that's not really tasting it. It's not consuming. The only time that Jesus... should I say that? I almost say it. Y'all can throw rocks at me. The only time Jesus was a sinner is when we gave our sins to him. At that point in his life, he was a sinner for you and me. He didn't commit them. He took them. A big difference. But he tasted death. Now, what does that mean? Did he feel death? Did he?
Yes.
You know what? You know why he did that? I wish we could get a hold of this. It might eliminate the fear of dying so that we would not taste death. That's what this means. Now, don't be double-minded on me. He either tasted sin or he didn't taste sin. He tasted death or he didn't taste death. Did he taste death? For everyone. Amen? Now listen to me. Don't be deceived when somebody looks at you and says, you will never see death. Because that's a promise for everybody. That's Scripture. You only see death once. When is that time? When you're born again. It's the only time you ever see death. That's a promise from God. It's appointed unto man once to die. And everybody thinks that's when you get in your coffin. Not a chance. That's when you finally die to yourself. That's when you finally say, God, I don't like me. I don't want to be me. I want to be you. I don't like my blood. I want your blood. I don't like my attitudes. I want your attitude. I don't like the way I think. I want to think like you think. That's when we die. The physical death, do not be afraid of it. Your body may take the last gasp, but your spirit will never even know it happens. That old physical body wants to go on. It never wants to give up. It didn't want to give up when you wanted to give it to God. It didn't want to give up. It's not going to want to give up that last breath. It's going to gasp. And then there's going to be a rattle. And only those around you will know it happens because the spirit man at that point is with Jesus. Boom. Just like that. Amen? And you know what? You're going to be living so close to God, you won't be surprised. When you wake up, when you just go from this point to that point and walk and sit down beside Him, you're not going to be surprised. Are you hearing me? A Christian's not going to be surprised when they wake up in heaven. It's not going to take them off guard. Wow. Settle down. Read the Scripture. For it was fitting for Him, for whom all are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory. Now, if it was fitting for Jesus to bring many sons to glory, is it fitting for you to do that? Okay. You've been assigned, we read the Scriptures, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both he who sanctifies and those who are being sanctified are all of one. Oh, man. That means the mature can't say, I have nothing to do with the immature. It means that the fathers can't say, I don't want nothing to do with the children. It means the pastor can't go get an unlisted phone number. It means that you can't tell me I'll participate in something in the church and then turn around and tell me if you're going to act that way, I won't do it. You can't do that. No more than I can do it. Don't tell me I can't do it, but you can. Won't work. God will get you. For which reason he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare your name to my brethren. In the midst of the assembly I will sing praise to you. And again I will put my trust in him, and again here am I and the children whom God has given me. How many of you call yourself Christians? If you do, the Scripture applies to you. not just to Jesus. I got news for you. You start searching out God. You start going after Him hard and you will have children. Don't talk to me about your quiver full. I take that spiritually, not physically. God's pleased with me when I have lots of children. And He's not talking about physical. He's talking about spiritual. I'll read it again. I will put my trust in Him, and again, here am I, and the children whom God has given me. Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, He might likewise share in the same, that through death He might destroy him who had the power over death, that is, the devil. If we just cross out a bunch of those words, it says, He destroyed the devil. And released those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. I'm going to read that to you one more time, and I hope God will set you free in this. And released those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Let me tell you something. Do you know, can you even imagine if you didn't have cancer to worry about and you didn't have car wrecks to worry about and you didn't have boogers in the night, whatever they are, to worry about, if you didn't have those things to worry about, would you be free? And the church teaches, as soon as you get to heaven, you can get that. And they're liars. Because the Scripture says you can have it here. Right here. That's what Jesus died for. So that not one moment of your life do you need to fear anything. Here's what the Bible says. Just in case I die, just in case somebody shoots me right in front of you, I have no fear, because to be absent here is to be present with the Father. And you can't scare me if I know that. But I've seen other things, and I know other things. I know what the Scripture says. That I don't have to be worried about being shot in front of you. Bullets can't touch me. I'm bulletproof. There's an appointed, there's another time. I have a promise about a long, full life. Do you know that? I have a promise from God about that. So do you. And I have chosen to believe God for that. And there's bullets come all the time in the form of threats and warnings and dangers, and I choose not to believe anything but the report of the Lord. Hallelujah. God, make us not afraid of anything. For indeed, He does not give aid to angels, but He does give aid to the seed of Abraham. Whew. Did you get that? Angels do what they do without the help from God, because He's given His help to us. I told you were sent. I don't see why y'all not getting just a little excited about that one. He does give aid to the seed of Abraham. Therefore, in all things, He had to be made like His brethren, that He might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, and to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For in that He Himself has suffered being tempted, He is able to aid those who are tempted. See, you guys thought the temptation, you were on your own, right? Jesus said, I felt it. I understand it. Now I'm seated at the right hand of the Father taking care of it. Because there's not one thing that could ever come up on you that I haven't felt and I haven't made provisions for. That's even court. Right, Mark? It don't make any difference what it is. God has taken care of it. Trust Him. I want to ask you something. And I write this several times from this point forward. The things that we've talked about, does it sound like the church as we know it? Does it really sound like the church as we know it? Then He's not coming today. If He wants a church without spot or wrinkle, a bride without spot or wrinkle, and we don't fit the Scripture, then He's not coming today. I hope this is what comes across in this whole thing. He obeys His own Word. He does not shortcut His Word. And if He tells us we're going to rule and reign in the midst of our enemies before He can come, then that's what we're going to do. And if we don't do it, he'll pick the next generation. God's heart is that we would be used by Him to complete His earthly family and live like His family on earth before Christ returns. I'm going to ask you something. Seriously. You guys know a lot of Christians. You know a lot of them. How would you like to live eternally with that person? Or would you like to have them conformed in yourself? I don't want to skip me. A little bit more into God's likeness and image before we go live forever together. How many of you look in the mirror and say, if I'd had somebody say what I just said to them, would I be happy? If I would have done to them what I just did to them, it was done to me, would I be happy? You've got to do it. It's part of the Scripture. You've got to consider your ways. The Bible says, you got big pockets. You're sticking hundreds of thousands of dollars in them every day. And you wonder why there's nothing in there. When you reach, it says, consider your ways. You want to prosper? Let's send a bunch of notes to the prosperity teachers, which they're totally correct except for one thing. They say, if you'll send the money to me, God will bless you. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says, consider your ways, and I'll bless you. God's heart is that we would be used by Him to complete His earthly family and live like His family on earth before He comes. Let's start acting like we're already in heaven. Oh, I can't read all those scriptures. I've got tons of scriptures. I'll get them to you one day. We are to embody and carry His life to the world. We are to build on the sonship model. Oh, that sounds like discipleship to me. That's what Jesus did. He picked disciples and He discipled them. And anybody that got a negative connotation about discipleship, take it up with Jesus. Don't talk to me about it. Because you've seen a perversion of it in the past, don't bring it into you today. Let's just understand. Fathers teach sons. Sons become fathers. Fathers teach sons. It will be that way, and it's not a democracy. We won't vote about it. It's the way it is. And by the way, if you don't obey the Word of God, your children suffer. Are those that have been assigned to you, if it's a spiritual child, those that have been assigned to you, they will suffer. Has the church fulfilled the sonship model? You know, humans are nuts, you know that? I mean, we're crazy. We're just as crazy as we can be. We saw somewhere in the Bible that it says, call no man father. So we attack the Catholic Church and kill all the fathers. And yet, we're supposed to call Father God Father. And in the process, we could call Him Father. We just call Him, we put it down to Lord. And then we bring it down to Jesus. Now, I'm not trying to be hypocritical here, but that's what we do. We stop using the word Father and we use the word Lord, and as soon as we don't like that, we bring it down to Jesus, because that's just a buddy. That's just a buddy. Hey, Jesus, what do you think of that? I cannot understand the Father until I become a son. I will never be a father until I'm first a son. I can never be a husband until I first become a wife. I can never be a husband until I first become a wife. If you've always been a son, then you're still just a big son. You're not a father. You haven't learned. If you haven't got a relationship with God the Father, you are a lousy father to your children. Has the church fulfilled the sonship role? This is not a fun one. Can I just go ahead and sympathize with you a little bit? I don't like this word. I didn't like it when I was becoming a son in the house. I didn't like it when there were people over me and I'd fuss with them and then God would get after me. And I'd say, yeah, but they're wrong. He said, didn't ask you. Told you to be a son. Yeah, but according to their word. You just stick to the word. you never go away from the Word. And when your father's wrong, it's all right to say you're wrong, but don't ever leave or forsake. That's no fun, is it? Well, I thought that God set us free through Jesus Christ. Yep, freed us right into slavery. Well, what's slavery? Think back when you were a child. Think back when you were a child. Did you have much freedom? Or did you pretty much do what your parents told you to do? Now, there was freedom in that. You know, I had a lot of fun when I was a kid. Because my parents weren't always, and that's the way God is. He's not always right on your shoulder, puffing down your neck. He allows you some freedom, but you are able to do what He allows you to do. Oh, that's not fun in the United States. We're free people. Don't fool yourself. Look and see what our freedom's done for us. The minute we checked God off of our freedom list or our list of government, look what the country's done. As soon as we decide God can't be the father in our schools or can't be a father of the television or whatever, look what's happened. One more thing, at least. God's heart is that we learn to distinguish between His freely shared wealth and riches. Did you know there's a difference between wealth and riches? And that we learn to steward both of them effectively. Well, if He gives me money, it'll be mine. I can do anything I want to. Oh, no, no, no. Don't plan on having it very long. If that's your attitude, don't plan on getting it. God's got better people with better ideas than that. God's heart is that we learn to distinguish freely between His freely shared wealth and riches. Listen, wealth is God's wisdom, His character, His knowledge, and His power granted to us in Christ through the Holy Spirit, His people, and the school of what I call earth life. Let me tell you something. We don't need the mind of God in heaven. Are you hearing me? We don't need it when we get there. We need it now. We don't need light in heaven, the Bible says, but we need it now. There are things we need here that we're not going to need in heaven. One of them is His wealth, His wisdom, His character, His knowledge, His understanding, His power. All of that must be used and applied in what I still refer to as earth school. Earth school. Let's see. Y'all are 80-ish. Are you through learning? I figured, well, you know, when I used to be this age, I figured surely I know most everything there is to know already. Now, there's a few things I still have to learn, but very few. And when I got a little older, I found out that the older I got, the more there was to learn. Isn't that amazing? I haven't gotten over that. It's more fun learning now than it was then. Somebody made me do it then. Now I want to. Earth school, earth life. Riches are the physical resources given to us to steward, which are time, money, position. Now here's where we get messed up. We think that if money comes our way, that it's ours. Because we work for it. You haven't done nothing compared to what Jesus has done. I promise you. Let's just get real. Well, He gave me all this wisdom, and now, yeah, He gave you wisdom to make the money and to steward it. What's a good steward? Look in the Bible. It's one that makes a profit. See me? Come on, let's get real. See, we think the world invented profit when God's the one that invented it. You don't believe it, look in His Word. He'll tell you, I gave some 10, I gave one 5, I gave one. Hey, you know what happened? That lousy bird that sat on it didn't make me no money at all. I took it away from him and gave it to somebody that would make me some money. Well, Stan, that don't sound like God. That was Stan's version of the Bible. Read it. It's in there. God's a CEO of a very profitable corporation. And he promotes those that create profit. Children? Money? He promotes those that he can depend on. Don't hear me get too physical here. I'm trying to stay spiritual in that thought. Riches are the physical resources given to us to steward. Time, money, position, etc. Wealth, listen to this. Wealth passes through death. Riches will not. Here's how you know the difference between wealth and riches. Wealth will go with you through death. Riches will not. Okay? See which is most important with that light on it, please. What? Did you know that children will pass through death? Physical and spiritual children will pass through death? Try buying one and see if the money comes through with it. Try buying anything and see if it comes through with it. Now, turn on your TV, listen to your tapes, and with that little short definitions in mind, does the church fit this requirement of God? That our priorities are straight as far as wealth and riches. I've shared with you one time before, it was in my own cousin. Wanted to teach Sunday school. And so he went and found someone else's tithe, happened to be $10,000 or $15,000, something like that, and went to the pastor and said, I've got a tithe check that I'm going to give to somebody, and I sure would like to teach Sunday school. He wasn't made a Sunday school teacher. He was made head of all the Sunday school. All it cost was $10,000 or $15,000, whatever it was. $10,000? I couldn't remember the figure, but $10,000, that's all it cost. Somebody else's money. Oh, boy, that guy was wise. Well, what will pass through death? Will any of that pass through death? I'm telling you, it's nonsense. We've got to get our priorities square. We've got to get them right. Oh, I don't think I better start there. Nope. It's too much to cover. Listen, God has called you. Not whoever you're, not some star on television. He's called you. Here's where we miss it so bad. Do you think that the children's church teachers are called? They have to be. I ain't doing it. Well, sorry, God. Don't ever say won't. I have done it. Hopefully that's a time past. How about the janitor? Do you think he should be called? How about the one that stands up here and sings on Sunday morning or plays? Do you think they're called or should be? Come on, y'all can get a little bit stronger than what you're getting here. Bible says, let your yeas be yeas and your nays be nays. If you disagree with me, say no once and let everybody look at you. Are they called? I want to ask you something with that response in mind. This was a trap. Then do you have any say in the matter? Unfortunately, you do. Unfortunately, you do. I wish I didn't. I wish, you know, one thing I'm really looking forward to in the life hereafter, I won't have any more choices. It's not going to be presented to me in a way except positive. Here, I have another influence that makes things look negative sometimes when they're positive. And I won't have that anymore. Here, I have to find out in spirit. With God's mind, I have to understand, God, is this what you want me to do? Even when I don't want to do it, I have to say, God, is this what you want me to do? Amen? Let me tell you something about it here, right here. You know that my job is going to be much easier when you know what your job is? Because then I won't have to convince you of what it is. Because I'm not a good salesman. I don't do well when you want me to beg you to do something. I usually won't do it. I just figure if your relationship is to that point with God, then anything I say is probably a waste of time. Listen, the church needs to become more like Jesus. And when Jesus had a job that the Father gave him to do, he did it. He didn't care if the person's name was prostitute or tax collector, if it meant mud in the eye, or if it was just a nice little oily touch. He didn't care. It had to be done. So he did it. Even to the point of dying for you and I. Can I put just a little heavier stuff on you? What if you would have been Jesus? Where would I be? If my salvation depended on your obedience, where would I be? Holy Spirit, you deal with that with him. Now, Stan gets to go home and say that in the mirror to himself. I hope you'll do the same thing. There are people out there that their salvation is depending on you. There are things that go on this church right here, just procedurally, that the church depends on you. And because if the church doesn't function according to the way the Spirit's designed, you can get in the way by doing your own thing instead of what God wants you to do. Let me tell you, here, I hate to be this realistic, but we might as well. God says the truth will set you free, so God set us free. Don't put us in bondage. If I get in my way, the Bible says, cut me off. If my hand or anything gets in the way of my relationship with God, cut it off. Let's go on down the line. If my wife gets in the way, I cut it off. If my children get in the way, I cut them off. What am I trying to tell you? There's only one thing important in my life, and it's got to be before Jesus can come, and that is Jesus. And nothing can come. He'll have no other gods before Him. He's a jealous God. He won't even let my own wife get between me and Him. I didn't wait. Got our problems, man. Tell God about them and watch Him change them. I can't change it. I can't give you more rest. I can't give you fast rest. I can't give you more money. I can't give you more health. But Jesus can. But you know what you have to do? You have to talk to Him about it. You really do. And watch Him work out the details. Just exactly where we started. We're right back where we started. You trust God and His Word and watch Him work out the details. Even to fast sleep. Let me tell you something. You know what happens to me after Sunday morning when I walk out of here? I die. My physical body just isn't what it used to be. And there would be nothing more pleasurable to me than not come back tonight. Well, for one thing, I have to look at y'all. Forgive me, Lord. Seriously, I get so tired. Mike said this morning, out of pity, he said, can I help you? He said, you're running yourself ragged here this morning. Yeah. Yeah, you can help. How about y'all? Am I the only one that is committed? I'm telling you. You know which church God's going to bless? The committed one. The committed one. One more note. I don't think you can read this one anyway, but this is Scripture. So it's not my note. This is Scripture. What does that say? Patrick, you can read it. Oh, he stopped paying attention. How about y'all? What does that say?
By thee that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be
saved. That's not a good word. How many of you know that endure is not a real refreshing word? I thought it said that once I could get saved, I never had to do another thing because Jesus did it all. Well, this is Matthew. Endure. Hang in there. Do what you're told to do. Do it the way you're told to do it. The Holy Spirit, you know how busy the Holy Spirit spends talking time and energy talking to us? Please, I'm not your Holy Spirit. I'm not your Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, the one that resides, sticks closer to you than a brother does, talks to you continuously. And I tell you what, let me tell you what you won't ever hear from the Holy Spirit. Listen, I know you need that tithe money. Just hold it this time and you can give it next time. The Holy Spirit never says that. He says, trust me with my word. Trust me. In fact, it says, dare me. He doesn't say, now my wife says this to me. No, she doesn't. He never says, let's just skip church tonight. They won't miss us. Our Wednesday night. All those Bible studies, they're so boring. You know why our Bible studies are boring? Because you're not there. You show up if you're so hot. Make it better. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm telling you, you are important. That's what I'm trying to tell you in about 40 different 11 ways. You are so important to the kingdom of God that God made you and assigned you and appointed you. It says, please. And more than that, unfortunately for y'all, you showed up here. You showed up here. Somebody, when this church first got started, somebody said, you know, if such and such ever happens, I won't go to your church. I said, if that such and such does happen, I won't go either. Now, I'm telling you the truth. I don't have to be here. It's my choice. God said, Stan, you'll do it. I said, yes, sir. Yes, sir. I said one time, I'll never go to that church again. God said, didn't ask you. Didn't He do that? In fact, I'll tell you exactly what He said. He said, I don't remember asking you anything. I told you. Okay. Praise God. Are you important? Well, some of you are, some of you aren't. You know how you know you're important? When you start saying so. How in the world are you going to believe anything unless you say it? That's prophecy. Are you important in the kingdom? Are you called? Are you anointed? It got quiet then. Better get a bucket of oil and throw it at you. Are you anointed? Let's just make that word work. You're not only called, but you're empowered. Let's don't use the word anointing right at this minute. I mean, God has dumped on you everything you need to do it and more than enough. That's even put up with me. Like that man. I am anointed to put up with her. She's anointed to put up with me. You know what that means? She can never do nothing. It'll run me off. That's what that means. I'm anointed to do whatever it is I'm doing up here. That just means there's nothing you can do to change my mind. Now, do you have the same commitment? It got quiet then, didn't it? He didn't even respond then. Praise the Lord. This isn't a sign-up class. You go home and answer those questions. Amen? One more thing. Everybody here saved? If you're not, throw your hand up quick. Isn't that cool? Hey, I'm not joking with you. You don't get proud of Jesus. He's not proud of you. You don't let it be known that you're interested in Him. He won't let it be known that He's interested in you. That's what the Bible says. So if you're not saved, throw your hand up and be a man. Be a woman about it. How about filled with the Holy Spirit? You filled? You empowered? How about called? Anybody here not called? Well, don't ask me what your calling is. Just ask for it if you don't know what it is. How about specifically, right here in this body, do you know what your position is? Man, don't ask me. I'm not in charge of nothing. God's in charge. Ask Him. And I'll obey Him. Amen? Stand. That was the weirdest altar call in the entire world. Y'all just videotape that and send it to ministers and say, this is the way not to do it.